1 Samuel chapter 30, beginning in verse 1, it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. And had taken the women captives that were therein, they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city. Behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue. For thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all. So I've entitled this morning's message, David Encouraged Himself in the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for your power upon this service. I pray the Holy Ghost would take your amazingly powerful word and touch each heart. Meet needs, bring conviction, bring comfort, whatever the need may be. And may we all leave changed by the power of your word and leave and say, truly, it was good to be in the house of the Lord. So meet with us now, Lord. We give you this service and we love you. We pray all this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So much in this passage that we can learn from this morning. But one of the things I see right from the start is our circumstances are not always going to go the way we would like them to go. Welcome to life. We always have the way we would like things to go, and then reality comes. And here we have David, a great man who loved God, and God loved him, and God was blessing him, and things seemed to be going his way. He was going to become the king of Israel. And yet here we have this situation come up, and most of the people believed that it was David's fault. And the first thing I see in this passage is that trials will come. And typically they will come when we don't expect them and from directions. David did not see this coming. He thought everything was going to go smoothly, everything was going to go wonderful. And yet, they get back into town and all... Can you imagine to find out that your wife and your children have been taken captive? Everybody assumed that they would probably be killed. And so here, he and all of his men come back from battling. They come back into the city and all their wives and children are gone. Maybe dead. They didn't expect that. And trials are going to come. And often they're going to be trials that we don't expect. But we have to understand that they're in the will of the Lord. And that's the key. Is that when they do come, don't despair, don't give up. And we'll talk more about that later. But acknowledge the fact that we are going to have trials in life. And they're not... You know, we can't look ahead and say, okay, I know that in 6 months I'm going to have this trial. Not many people got that luxury. Now, Paul got a little bit of that. He was told in advance, you're going to suffer a lot. How would you like that? I want you to be my great church planter, but by the way, you're going to suffer many, many, many things. But trials will come. Let's go to Psalm 34:19, just to be reminded of this, that they're not a surprise to God and they will come. the trials of life. Notice Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Now, God has promised you and I that if we are the righteous, and that's not talking about our behaviors, talking about our standing in Christ. If we are the righteous, we're going to have many afflictions. It's part of God's plan. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. It is a fact. And we can expect it. The problem is when they happen, we just never wanted it. That's just our nature, isn't it? Go, if you would, to 1 Peter 1:6. And again, we'll be reminded, I wanted to get an Old Testament and a New Testament in here, that trials are part of God's plan. They are going to happen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, the Bible says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season," look at this next phrase, "if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation." If need be. Well, who gets to determine if need be? God. He's our Father. If we're born again, He's going to do what's best for us. And if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. So God looks down and He knows what He wants to do in our lives. He knows He wants to develop us. He knows He wants to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. And He decides, the need be, it's time for a new trial. It's time for you to grow in this particular area. So here it comes. Look at, while you're in 1 Peter, look at chapter 5, verse 10. 1 Peter 5:10. The Bible says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." After that ye have suffered a while. That'd be a great, exciting verse for prosperity theology if it didn't have that one little phrase in there. After that you've suffered a while. And so the first thing we see here from this story, from the life of David, is we will have trials. And they're not necessarily going to be when or what we expect. That's life. But let's go back to our passage, because the second thing that I see in this passage this morning is that the answer is not to complain or to blame others or to get mad at God. Notice it says, verse 6, David was greatly distressed. Well, we get distressed when trials come. But it says, "For the people spake of stoning him." So it's, you know, he's already got the first trial, and that's his wife and children have been taken captive. They're possibly dead, or they're at least slaves. And now to add to the trial, all the people want to put him to death because they blame him that Jerusalem was attacked while they were away. That is never the answer when trials come. It's to get mad at someone else. But that's typically what we do, isn't it? Because believe it or not, and I know you already know this, when the trials come, sometimes, now I'll rephrase that, a lot of times they come from people. Shock of all shocks. Sometimes they even come from Christians. These are David's faithful men that fought side by side with him and would have died for him, and now they speak of stoning him when this trial comes into their lives. What happened? What happened to their love for David? Well, they're angry. They're angry about this trial. Go, if you would, to Numbers chapter 11. The Bible tells us that one of the things that angered God about Israel's behavior more than just about anything else was not only their lack of faith, but their constant complaining. Every time something came up, what did they do? They didn't say, well, God will take care of us. They didn't say, well, this is obviously God's will. They said, no, God hates us. God brought us out here to die. God's going to starve us to death. God's going to let us be killed by this army or whatever. But it was always, they turned around and got mad at God and they complained. Look at chapter 11, verse 1 of Numbers. When the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. Why did he punish them? Because they complained. Look at chapter 14 of Numbers. You'll see this is kind of familiar with what's happening in David's life. Verse 2, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness, and wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Let's replace Moses as our leader. And let's go back to Egypt, because it was really good there. That's why we asked God for 400 years to deliver us from Egypt, because we were slaves and life was really bad. But let's go back, because we're having trials. And these people spake of stoning David. Is that the way we should respond when trials come? I'm really mad. Where's somebody I get mad at? Who can I blame? That's not the way we're supposed to respond. Because trials come from the Lord. So if you want to blame somebody, blame God. But I don't recommend it. Instead, you need to acknowledge that God is in control and respond properly to the trial. But not respond with anger and blame of others. Now, if you would, look at Psalm 38, because I want to show you what I mentioned a few minutes ago from Scripture, that sometimes our trials are going to come from our friends, from fellow believers, where we would least expect them to come from. Notice Psalm 38, verse 11. David said, my lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. Now look at Psalm 41, verse 9, if you would, while you're in Psalm. David again, he says, yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. New Testament example, the Apostle Paul. He said, Demas hath forsaken me and hath loved this present world. In another place, 2 Timothy 4, he said, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Sound familiar? Who was left when Jesus was hanging on the cross? The answer is not to get mad at someone else. The answer is not to get frustrated and start complaining and moaning. Because, you know what? If that's our response to the trial, it just means that we're not learning what God wants us to learn, and it means he's going to have to send another trial until we do learn that particular lesson. They spake of stoning David rather than looking to David and saying, we're all in this together. This trial obviously is from the Lord. God knows what he's doing. What do we do next? Well, David knew what to do next. Let's go back to our passage, and this is the key to the whole thing. Verse 6, they spake of stoning him, but notice at the end of the verse, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Because he's pretty much alone right now. His family's been taken captive, and now his faithful men are talking about stoning him to death. So he's pretty much by himself. He could have just thrown up his hands and said, "Well, I quit. I'm not your leader anymore." He could have just run away, but he didn't. David encouraged himself in the Lord. And when the trials come, that's the answer. Respond properly. Not with anger, not with frustration, not with complaining and moaning, but encouraging yourself in the Lord. It doesn't mean the trial doesn't hurt. They usually do. Job has chapters and chapters of admitting to God that he didn't understand why the trial was in his life, admitting to God that he was hurting. But he never blamed God, and he never got mad at God. Matter of fact, he said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." This was a man that had lost his living, he lost his family, and he lost his health. And that was his response. Look, if you would, at Psalm 42, and I want to show you that David, as he learned these lessons, God allowed him to share some of these lessons with you and me. Psalm 42, verse 5. That the answer is to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Acknowledge that God knows what He's doing. Notice Psalm 42:5. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance." Look at Psalm 56, verse 11. We'll look at another couple here. Just to see that David had learned these lessons the hard way, and he shared it with us, that when a trial comes, you turn to God. Psalm 56:11. "In God I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me." Psalm 62:5. Let's look at one more. Psalm 62, verse 5. "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him." It wasn't that David didn't have trials. He had plenty. It was that he had learned how to respond. He didn't throw up his hands in despair. He didn't get angry like his men. He's hurting too. His family's gone too. But he's encouraged himself in the Lord. Look at, if you would, one more passage. Habakkuk chapter 3. I think I might have preached on this a few months ago, but just this great passage here in Habakkuk 3 where he acknowledges these amazing trials. And look how he responds here. Habakkuk, however you want to say it. So Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. There it is. I had it and lost it. Oh, there it is. Chapter 3 and verse 17. "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls." All right, we can just close our Bibles here. Great passage, huh? In other words, everything is going bad. He's basically, everything's falling apart. Look at verse 18. "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." That's a choice. Everything's falling apart. The trials are all over the place. Life is filled with pain. But I choose to rejoice in the Lord. I choose to joy in the God of my salvation. That's what David did. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And that's the way we need to respond to trials. Doesn't the Bible say, if God be for us, who can be against us? We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We could go on all morning, couldn't we? It's easy to remember and quote those verses to others when they're going through trials. But when we go through trials, that's when it's real. We can choose. I'm going to get angry. I'm going to blame somebody. Or I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord my God. Because I'm going to acknowledge that God knows what He's doing. He makes no mistakes. This trial's for a reason. God's trying to teach me something. God's trying to change me in some way. I'm going to let Him work and know He will do what's right. We say that we believe that God will do what's right, but do we live that when the trials come? We quote, you know, Romans 8:28 to each other all the time, but we need to quote it to ourselves when the trials come. All things work together for good to them that love God. So David encouraged himself in the Lord. And he not only encouraged himself, but look at verse 8 back in our passage, 1 Samuel chapter 30. David knew the answer. When the trials come, and they will, and they'll be unexpected, and they'll be from directions we don't expect, and from even sources that we don't expect. Sometimes those that we think love us, when it happens, what do? Encourage ourselves in the Lord. And then verse 8, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? And of course, God blessed miraculously. And they went and they rescued all the wives and all the children. Nobody got killed, which was just truly a miracle. But he encouraged himself in the Lord and he inquired at the Lord. Can anybody in the room say they pray as much as they should? You think sometimes God might bring trials into our lives to push us to our knees? Because He wants that fellowship? That's what He created us for. And sometimes He has to push us into fellowship. It's a shame that we're built that way, but we are. We don't pray as much when things are going good. Let's be truthful about it. That's just the way it is. The times we pray the most are when things are rough. Now, David had learned that you need to be close to God all the time, but especially when the trials come, encourage yourself in the Lord and then spend more time with Him. And that's when God will really begin to work miracles in your spiritual life. Look in Psalm 119 this time. David again. And I know I refer to this verse a lot, but it's a great verse. Psalm 119, verse 71. David speaking, he says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Wait a minute, you mean affliction helps us learn the Bible? Yep. We probably learn more in the valleys than we do on the mountaintops, let's be honest. Because it's in the valleys that our Christianity becomes more real. That we have to spend more time with the Lord and we have to trust the Lord. David said, it's good for me that I've been afflicted and I learn thy statutes. Your afflictions have helped me learn the Word better. Well, it's something we say we want, but are we willing to allow God to use what it takes to get us there? So David encouraged himself in the Lord and he inquired at the Lord. Doesn't the Bible say, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Everything. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. But we can't have that peace of God until we do the first part, which is give Him everything. Everything. A supplication and prayer with thanksgiving. Spend time with the Lord. Inquire at the Lord. Go to James chapter 1, verse 12. James had learned this lesson as well, and God inspired him to write about it. James chapter 1, verse 12. The Bible says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. You know, we think about blessings, we don't necessarily think about people that endure temptation. But it says, blessed are those, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. My friend, trials are going to come. You're probably in one right now. Because it's such a natural part of our Christian lives. They're pretty stable. You know, we just finished one and usually there's another one around the corner. Because that's what God uses. If need be. After that, you've suffered a while. You know, these light afflictions, the Bible says, which are but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. 2 Corinthians 4:17. They're good for us. God uses them in our lives. They're going to come. But how we respond to them is up to us. We can get angry, which we often do. We can blame God, which sometimes we do. We can complain. We can blame others. Or we can encourage ourselves in the Lord. We can inquire at the Lord and grow, which is His ultimate goal. That's why He allowed it in the first place. So we'll grow. Be more like Jesus. Be a more effective Christian. Speak to any Christian that's been saved for a very long time, and they'll be honest and say, God used trials to make me what I am today. It's just the facts. But when they come, we always have that choice. How am I going to respond? Am I going to acknowledge that God's in control and God makes no mistakes? God has a purpose in this. And yes, it hurts, but I'm not going to complain. I'm going to encourage myself in my God. I'm going to inquire at the Lord. I'm going to trust Him. And if that's the way we choose to respond, I suggest that the trial will probably be shorter. Because we're going to learn the lesson faster. I also suggest that if we respond properly, we don't have to have that particular lesson again next week. It'll be a different one, of course, but at least it doesn't have to be that one. We can move on and grow in our Christian lives. So let's respond the way God wants us to respond when they come. Let's encourage ourselves in the Lord and inquire at the Lord. Get on our knees and spend more time with Him and let Him use it in our lives the way He wants to use it. And David grew through this, and it's one of the things that made him such a great king, was how he chose to respond when the hard times come. Let's pray.